Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everyone. It's Lummy here for the sports show.
Some high-energy music to get everybody going on the lead-in.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you liked some, you know, this is kind of like, hey, it's 4 o'clock, it's a Wednesday.
Let's go take a fucking nap.
No, it's like, hey, it's all good. It's a sports show with Lummy. I was going to put a little high-energy music on here for you.
Take your time. Kill the flow of the show.
There you go. How's that?
It's worse.
You're such a dick.
So bad.
You walk
at
in at 3:59 like you're just there.
Much better intro.
Than
that spa music you were playing.
I know something running through the board. It's the sports show with Lummy and Babyface Brian is back.
Welcome, welcome all.
813-90-BUBBA. Brian always likes to take your call. Hear your opinion on what's going on, because there's a lot going on. And Brian, you haven't been here in a while.
Neither have you, right?
I did a show the 1 week without you. I did it by myself for like an hour.
That was probably really good. I'll have to go back and watch it.
You should, actually. You know, a lot of people actually said it wasn't too bad.
Wasn't too bad is pretty good.
Well, because I...
it's hard to do a show alone, man. It's tough.
That's what I'm saying.
Talking to yourself in a room, you almost have to be mentally ill in order to be able to do that.
Well, that's why I came in here. And
that's why you did a good job.
I started it up and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start asking myself questions and answering them.
You do that anyways. Whenever you're in a fight, like on the air with somebody, you start doing these like rhetorical questions. Like I remember with you when you were mad, I think it was about Colton not playing basketball with you or whatever.
It was a guy Couch. He called in about basketball.
Yeah, whoever it was. Yeah. It was like, did I do that? No. Should I have done that? Yes. I mean, that was classic Lummy meltdown.
That's kind of what I was doing that day. not obviously in like a full meltdown fashion, but I was asking myself, like, what happens if Michigan beats Ohio State? What happens there? What happens if Alabama loses to Auburn?
You asked that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, and their season's over. Run. That would have been their season over.
Oh, well, that was
pretty easy. None of it, it's really, there's not a lot of drama to it, you know? Not a lot of drama here. I think Georgia's going to beat Bama, so Bama will be out.
Well, that's
Oklahoma
what, yeah,
State,
I was going to get into
if
that.
If they take care of business, they'll slide in. If not, it'll be Notre Dame. That's it.
Well, hold on.
It's over. There's nothing else. There's no other drama. There's very, very little to no drama. If Cincinnati wins, they're in. If Bama wins, they're in. Georgia is already a lock. Michigan could fall out with a loss, but you've really only got six teams vying for those four spots.
Well, I was going to say, Brian, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
And once again, 813-90-BUBBA, I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving. We haven't seen you in 2 weeks, and I was going to say, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes, it was nice. I was on a cruise ship.
Oh.
Yes.
Did you go to some Caribbean island?
We went to the Bahamas. It was a short one, just a bunch of families from our neighborhood, and it was nice. It was very nice.
Did you spend your whole Thanksgiving there? Or did you spend it here?
Well, Thanksgiving's only one day.
No, I know, but that weekend, you know, like
I know,
Thursday,
I'm busting
Friday.
Your chops.
I know. I figured that. I mean, that's you, Brian.
That's my style, man. So, yeah, we were there. It was Monday through Friday on the cruise.
Nice.
It was nice, yeah.
What was it like being back on a cruise?
You know what? Because of the testing protocols and the cleaning protocols and everything, it was probably safer than going to the mall.
Really?
Yeah, because everybody has to get tested before they go. All unvaccinated people have to get tested before they go and immediately before they get on the ship. It was good. It was good. It wasn't overly crowded.
No, so, did you have to wear a mask the whole time?
Indoor areas is required.
Okay. So, did you spend a lot of time outside?
Well, I mean, you're by the pool deck and, going up to mini golf and, you know, things like that. Yeah, we were outside quite a bit. And then in port, you're outside. So, no mask required there.
Would you recommend it?
Yeah, if you like cruising.
No.
It's safe to do and go back to. And there's some good deals to be had.
I'm sure it was nice just to get away.
Oh, it was great. But we had our kid with us, so it was a little less relaxing. So for my wife's birthday and my 40th, we're actually going to go on a little short, just 3-day one with just us.
Where you go? Oh,
just out to the private island of Royal Caribbean, Coco Cay. It's really nice. They remodeled it and put a water park in there and a bunch of amazing pools and a beach club. It's the real deal.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that in March.
And now you can come back, and now we can talk sports.
That's it, man. I'm ready to go.
Let me ask something. Is your fee that you have, is it kind of locking up on you?
No, my feed's great.
A lot of people said that it's locking up.
It locked up earlier, but I haven't had any issues that I can tell of. You know, not right now, looking at it, looks good.
Okay. Because, mine keeps spinning, and then just making sure. But going back to the college playoff, I know you said, cut and dry.
Well, I mean, there's only really like three scenarios that play out, right? There's only three games that matter, really.
Well, okay. You said Georgia beats Alabama. What if Alabama beat Georgia?
Georgia's in, Bama's in. Easy. There's not a lot of drama there. So the calculus here is pretty easy to do.
Okay. Michigan wins. They're in, obviously.
Right.
Michigan loses.
They're out.
Cincinnati
wins. They're in. Cincinnati loses. They're out.
Now, but how about this? So let's say, obviously, Alabama's out. Cincinnati moves up to three.
Right. Now, Oklahoma State slides in. If they win, if they don't win, Notre Dame is there. See, that's the thing, right? Notre Dame represents their team that can't lose. And they're positioned that if two teams fall out of the college football playoff, that they slide right up on in.
Now,
and so that there's not a whole lot of drama in this.
I want to get into, obviously, Kelly leaving Notre Dame. But so if Oklahoma State loses, Alabama's out. So Notre Dame has a really good chance of making the playoffs, is what you're saying.
If Oklahoma State loses and Bama loses, then Notre Dame's in.
Because I can see Oklahoma State losing to Baylor.
It could happen. They beat them by, what, 10 the first time they played?
Yeah.
But it could happen. Yeah, that's possible. I don't see – I mean, Cincinnati could lose to Houston. They've been very average of late. I am actually quite shocked that the committee has not punished them for their performance on the field in a few of these games. But it seems like they're committed to allowing Cincinnati to be in there. Now, Cincinnati's defense is good enough to compete. The real question mark is their offense consistent enough to win in the college football playoff? And are they going to get penalized and get that, you know, that four seed? The dream for Cincinnati is that Michigan loses, they move up to three. They then get Oklahoma State in that scenario or Notre Dame. That would be a much better matchup for them if that were to happen. They move up to two. 2-3, it's irrelevant, right?
So, yeah, they're going to I think it's going to be 2-3. It's going to be Michigan versus Cincinnati.
And if that happens, if that happens, that's a winnable game for Cincinnati. They can win that game.
You think they could beat Michigan?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now,
their defense is very good. And they're, whether or not they can score enough points will remain to be seen. But Michigan's probably a touchdown favorite in that game, if I was guessing what the books would place it as. But that's not you know, like they would be against Georgia, they would be 14-point dogs. But against Michigan, they could win that game.
I mean, realistically, Cincinnati. I mean, Houston's not really a lightweight. I mean, they're not great, but the way Cincinnati's played down to their competition, Houston's still ranked, I believe, correct?
No, Houston. Well, honestly, Houston should be 16th. I think they've got them like 21st, which is a travesty.
AP 16.
No, not the AP.
AP is irrelevant. 21st. Yeah.
So they're underranked. Their only loss was the first week of the season to Texas Tech, I believe. Now, granted, Texas Tech is a 6-6 team. Houston has improved though since then.
But in my opinion, week one, week two, especially coming off the COVID year, I mean, that week one is a big game.
I mean, the issue The issue for Houston, though, is they have not played anybody. They lost to Texas Tech. Then their out-of-conference games were Rice, Grambling, and Connecticut. So they lost the only decent out-of-conference game they played. And then within the AAC, they dodged Cincinnati. They dodged USF. But they didn't have to play Cincinnati or UCF. So those are two the the second and third place teams in the conference that they didn't have to play.
They did dodge USF, though.
They pulled it off, but the only team that they played in the top half of the ACC was ECU, and they only beat them by 7 at home. So, you know, Houston, I think, you know, we really don't know what they're going to bring to the table. The last few weeks, they've looked a lot better. You know, since the USF game, they blew out Temple, they blew out Memphis, beat them by 18, and then dismantled UConn, but that's to be expected. I think Cincinnati probably wins by 14 to 17 points. They're that much better than Houston.
So you like that 10.5 point spread that Houston Cincinnati's given up then?
Yeah, Cincinnati's hosting the game. The stakes are incredibly high. They've kind of coasted through this season, and the coasting will stop in this game. They will put a hurting on Houston to ensure that they make the CFP.
That's one thing that I'm just from watching Cincinnati and them playing down and watching Houston a little bit. I can see where Houston can upset Cincinnati.
But it's funny, we talk about Cincinnati playing down. They had the 3 bad game stretch, but then they dismantled SMU, who granted fell apart. But compare the opponents, right? So Cincinnati hosted SMU and they won by 34 points. Houston hosted SMU, and they won by 7.
You know what, with SMU, you think about this. Obviously, the coach went to TCU. You think he pretty much just said, screw it, by that game?
I don't think so. It was 2 weeks ago. But then look at ECU. Since he controlled that game after the first quarter, they won by 22. Houston only beat them by 7. So, you know, if you look at, and granted, transitive doesn't always play out, but if you look at the recent games that Cincy played and look at how Houston performed against those opponents, there's nothing
That Tulsa game was good, though. Did you watch it?
Everybody has.
I know, but I bet. I mean, I was.
Everybody has a game each year where they underperform, right? So they survive theirs, and that's what matters. And Tulsa played a bunch of teams tough this year.
No, Tulsa was close.
I mean, they almost beat Oklahoma. They held their own against Cincinnati, and I think they had a few others that they played better than one would have expected them to.
Hell of an offensive line. They had some big boys. They played Ohio State.
They had like 2 late scores in that game to make it like a 21-point game, but it was a 1-score game.
And Oklahoma State, they played 28-23, second game.
I mean, you look at their performances against really good teams, Tulsa did well.
I mean, they did lose UC Davis Aggies.
Which is kind of mind-blowing, right? Yeah. But was that the very first game of the season?
It sure was, and once again, I mean, that's where you can kind of look at that week one. But, I mean, we go back to, if we want to talk about the playoffs, and you said that Notre Dame does have a chance, obviously, if it all spins out right.
They need 2 teams to lose in front of them. That's it. It's pretty easy.
But Brian Kelly leaving, I think, and obviously if you follow his 10-year, $95 million contract, you're like, okay, he followed the money. I think he was dumb to leave, go to LSU, and go try to compete in the SEC. Do you agree, or are you like, you know what, he was going to be stuck? But
he's stuck. Well, here's the problem for Notre Dame, and we're seeing it this year, and we're going to see it in future state too, is that there's such a premium on being in a conference now, and he wants to be where, you know, kudos to him for going where the competition is, right? He's not running from it. He's going to it. Unlike Lincoln Riley, who's running from it.
That was my next note right there.
But Brian Kelly is running into the fire, not away from it.
If Notre Dame wanted to join a conference, any conference would take them. With the amount of money that they would bring to the conference.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm not saying that but they're not. And the fact of the matter is, it's in seasons like this one, it's going to hurt them. It's going to continue to hurt them. There's a 2-loss SEC champ would get in to the college football playoff more often than a 1-loss Notre Dame regular season. You would see that. And they know, and Kelly knows that. He can go to LSU and go 11-2 and make the CFP. He gets 2 losses at Notre Dame, you're never getting in.
No.
Ever.
But do you think the boosters see that and the boosters now start going, we need to join a conference? or you think they're just so hard-headed and Notre Dame is ingrained.
Notre Dame will be forced to when the consolidation truly happens after the ACC's grant of rights expires in 2034. So that's the big event that has to happen before ESPN can really maneuver everything around to get it to two major conferences. They tried to dismantle the Big 12 by moving Oklahoma and Texas over, but that's the first step in the process. I think the next step which will remain to be seen, is how weak the Pac-12's next TV deal is. Fox has a vested interest in continuing to keep product away from ESPN. ESPN has a vested interest in not overpaying for a product like the Pac-12. But what I think ultimately will happen is you'll see the major programs in the Pac-12 move to the Big Ten, for the Big Ten to expand to 16. And then the SEC will ultimately expand to 16. Maybe both go to 20 at some point, and then that's going to be it. You're going to be essentially 40 teams in major college football.
So the ACC goes away too.
Clemson and maybe Florida State and Miami, if they're lucky. Maybe one other school out of there will survive and be a part of the big boys club. But once it gets down to it, we're going to have, I think, about 40 or so teams that will comprise two major conferences that will then be major college football. And I think that happens probably by 2034, 2035.
Oh. Well, so on Notre Dame, Kelly's gone. Who do you think? I mean, Bubba was saying that he got a text that John Gruden was going to be the coach. That's kind of what I thought you were going to say.
There's no fucking way.
I thought you would say that.
I laugh at that prediction as much as I laugh at your prediction that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to play for the Packers this year.
Oh, okay.
That's yours is actually more ridiculous, but that's not happening. There's no way John Gruden's their coach.
Well, who do you think the next Notre Dame coach is then?
I think they'll look at a
Cincinnati
Luke Fickell
coach?
I think they'll look there. I think they may even look at someone like Pete Carroll.
You think he leaves? I guess Seattle is down right now. Yeah,
do I think he's going to leave a team that's 3-8 and is about to lose their starting quarterback?
Yeah.
I think it's time for Pete Carroll to go. I think that would be an exceptional hire. That'd be a great hire.
Oh, he's a hell of a coach.
He's a hell of a coach. A hell of a coach. And he would do really well at Notre Dame, I think. So that's who I would target if I'm them, is Pete Carroll.
Oh, let me see. 901.
Hey, Lummy, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. Welcome back, Brian.
Thanks, man.
Y'all was talking earlier about LSU with Brian Kelly. And you know there's haters talking about it was a bad deal, whatever. I'm a big LSU fan, and I think it was one of the – I'd rather have him than I would Lincoln Riley. Do you honestly think within 3 years he'll have them in the national championship?
Oh, the talent. Well, maybe I'm not sure. I think back in the playoffs, LSU has a lot of talent. I mean, you can see that every coach has, since Nick Saban, has taken that team to a national championship, and now with the playoffs, I think that the recruiting talent out of there and being the SEC is really going to help. I was just saying that Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame and his comfort level, and the way coaches get fired these days, even if they have a 10-year contract, you know, he could last 4 years, and they say Brian Kelly doesn't fit in the Louisiana way. I always thought Ogeron. Yeah,
Ogeron.
If anyone, that's the LSU guy.
I can't believe he went from a co-starring role in the water boy to head coach of LSU. That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Well, and you know, the thing is, too, and what people doesn't realize about that, he was handed a full house. He had so much talent that a blind monkey could have came in there and LSU would have won the national championship.
True.
With the talent that they had.
I think he got comfortable, too. I think he got really comfortable, but I do think he was a good fit at the time for it. I thought he was going to be a pretty good recruiter going out of there. Brian Kelly is obviously a good recruiter, but when you're recruiting at Louisiana, Mississippi, you know, it's like babyface going down there trying to recruit. You know, you kind of look at him and go, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, really. But the thing is about LSU, and it does have something to do with the coaches, yes. but kids from LSU in that area wants to play for LSU. And I don't think it just has to do with 100% of coaching, of the coach. Yeah, it has some of it, but kids from Louisiana wants to play at LSU, and that's the 5 stars and the 4 stars, and I think he's going to recruit those players.
Yeah.
And I think some of the players that he recruited out of Notre Dame, because someone told me his recruiting class next year for Notre Dame was fourth in the country.
Yeah, he always had high recruiting classes. And one thing I don't like about it, and I don't know if Brian agrees, but when everyone always says that recruiting class, unless those kids are playing, because now with the portal, the transfer portal, realistically, the transfer portal, you could have the number one class, but then everyone gets their, you know, ass hurt, and they're like, oh, we should be playing. Because they'll go home. Think about it. You go home, and you're sitting the bench at an LSU, and your buddy's starting at, you know, some other college, and he's like, and you were better than him. You know, you get better, and you're like, ah, screw it. I'm going to transfer now. And you want to start. So I think it's going to mess up that whole entire putting the emphasis on the recruiting, you know, classes.
Well, Brian, what wins in the SEC? The running game, right?
Yeah,
you have to have a running game in the SEC. He's going to start bringing in them big boys like he did at Notre Dame, that offensive line. And I think he's bringing the Freeman. Isn't he the offensive line coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he'll if he can do a good job of combining, what he's going to need to readjust to is the speed, right? Because the SEC plays a faster brand of football than most of the opponents he plays and that they played at Notre Dame. But if he can adjust to that and gets a good OC in there that can, you know, prepare for the SEC speed that he hasn't seen, he'll be successful. He's a good coach. I mean, he was successful everywhere he's gone at Cincy before Notre Dame.
He'll need to get a good defense coordinator to get with speed, too, because that's another problem.
Yeah, although defense is becoming less and less, with the exception of Georgia this year, it's becoming less and less of an emphasis in the SEC.
That's true.
You used to see games constantly 17-13, just slugfest, can't move the ball, 300 yards of total offense in the first, you know, between the teams. And now these scores are 52-50, and it's, you know, it's less of an importance than it was in the past.
Well, it's almost like the Big 12 and them swept, you know, flopped over. Because Big 12 is
lower. Exactly. But I just wanted to say welcome back, Brian and Lummy. Always love you, buddy.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for listening. Love you too, buddy.
Have a good day.
You too. Yep. Yeah, Brian Kelly's been a winner at every stop he's gone through his coaching career. I don't think that LSU will be any different for him. I mean, he had a 92-39 record at Notre Dame, 34-6 at Cincinnati, 19-16 at Central Michigan, but he went from 4-7. 6-5 to 9-4. That's the type of progress you want to see out of a coach. Then he was the head coach at Grand Valley State and led them to 2 back-to-back Division II championships. Overall record 118-35-2. So he's a heck of a coach. I mean, he's won everywhere he's gone at each level, at different levels of competitiveness, right? So he started out Division II, then he goes to MAC, which is arguably the bottom of Division I.
Yeah.
Then he goes to Cincinnati, which at the time was still in the Big East, and you know, converting over to the actually it was the Big East the entire time he was there, and he dominated that conference.
Yeah, he jumped right before it went over to
I mean, he dominated that conference last season there, 12-0 Sugar Bowl win for Cincinnati in 2009. Then he goes to Notre Dame. They're floundering. He comes in, takes care of business with them and turns them into a winner. I mean, the last 3 seasons there, they've been really good.
Well, so speaking of that, in the recruiting in Louisiana,
5
for
seasons,
him,
their last 5 seasons, they've been really good.
I mean, do you think that it's going to help? Since obviously a lot of, like the caller said, Louisiana boys want to stay in Louisiana. Well, the University of Louisiana just lost their coach to Florida, Billy Napier.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think of that hire?
I think
at Florida.
It's
a lot of people are hating on it.
It's one of those that's either going to be amazing or going to be a fucking disaster.
You think
it's
a reach, kind of like
I don't think it's a reach. I think they had him. They had their guy. They believe in him. And they want, you know, what's interesting is recruiting in the state of Florida is these kids more and more are going out of state. And so Florida State used to have a lockdown in Miami on the kids in this state. And now more than ever, these Florida boys are heading out of the state. And so I think you need to have a more regional approach and to the recruiting, especially if you're the Gators and the Noles. You need to change your philosophy a little bit.
You don't think the old Howard Schnellenberger, let's put a wall around I-4 down and we're not letting anyone leave? Philosophy is not working or can't work nowadays?
No, it's over.
No, it can't work?
It's over.
So you're saying that if he wanted to say the state of Florida is going to be now Florida, it's not going to work?
No. Those days are done. Those days are done. You need to recruit regionally. You still don't have to recruit nationally, although a team like Florida can. But you definitely need to be able to recruit regionally. And that includes, you know, tapping in more heavily into Alabama, Louisiana, which Napier opens up the doors for, and Mississippi and Georgia.
I think I was hearing someone say there's like a 5-region kind of, it's like Florida, there's California, Texas, Florida, and then they said Ohio, like Michigan.
Yeah, Ohio produces way more kids per capita, and Georgia as well. If you go by the number of actual players and the number of D1 talent, Ohio and Georgia, I believe, are near the top. And Pennsylvania, surprisingly, as well, produces a lot of Division I talent, especially quarterbacks out of Pennsylvania.
That was the other one. It was Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That was
the
fifth one.
I don't need the article. I know it.
Well, it was a coach. You know the guy that was on Last Chance U?
Yeah.
He was saying it. He was saying nowadays, and like he was saying like Ohio, Michigan, like those are considered one now. And then you had like Pennsylvania, the West Virginia, like that whole little area that would be, you know, considered one too.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, Florida, Texas, California, which that just leads again to the other coaching change. Riley going to USC.
Yeah,
I think that's a smart move.
I mean, it's a smart move financially and from a quality of life standpoint. Who the fuck wants to live in Oklahoma
versus
Southern Cal?
But my thinking is, hey, listen, he got out before he had to go to the SEC.
Yeah.
And I feel like he almost saw that said,
sign up to be an SEC head coach.
He signed up to be a Big 12 coach.
Exactly, and he was dominating the Big 12.
Of course. Hey, I can sit here all day long in the Big 12, and I lose one game, two games, maybe make the playoffs, don't make the playoffs.
I mean, what's Oklahoma's worst year in this past decade? 9-3?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. So, yeah, I mean, I don't blame him.
I mean, I think he was shitting himself, and they were like, we're joining the SEC, and I think he started looking and going,
well, I said he knew that job was going to be open and just waited for it, you know?
That's, the USC job?
Yeah. I think everybody knew that job was going to be open again. Well, just fucking revolving door lately.
Yeah, but I mean, how do you think he's going
to
do?
Yeah,
out
I guess
there?
The 2014 they somehow managed to go 8-5.
Was it? Oh wow!
But other than that, they say they have 2 8-5 seasons since 2006, and then every other season was 3 losses or fewer. And they only have 4 seasons of 3 losses. They have lost 2 games pretty much every year. They haven't had a 1-loss season since 2004.
But have you ever really heard anyone dog shitting Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley?
Well, you want to talk about having a region on lockdown. I mean, they've got that whole area. They get their choice of players in that area. And when you can have that exclusivity, that's why Cincinnati has such an advantage over the other mid-majors, is there's only one major college in Ohio that plays football, and Cincinnati is the second best team in that state. And you can't, when you look at these mid majors, there's very few of them the second best team. You have LSU, I guess, and Louisiana are like that.
That's Toledo.
What?
Isn't Toledo?
What about Toledo?
They're
fucking trash. Or Mac. The MAC hasn't produced a competitive team since Northern Illinois back in 2006.
I was about to ask you. Do you remember the last time?
Yeah,
that was a run.
That was
the Huskers.
What?
Aren't they the Huskers?
No, the Huskies.
Huskies, whatever. But no, that's the last time I think the MAC was relevant.
That was the only. I mean, that was the one time ever. And then Big Ben with Miami of Ohio Red Hawks.
Well, you had Marshall too. They were in the MAC at that point.
Yeah, they had their one season
with Byron Leftwich.
Yeah. Oh, and they had Randy Moss, right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
So there were three teams in the history of the MAC who were ever relevant. And not like the team was relevant. Three seasons in the MAC's history where they had a relevant team.
I mean, come on. Toledo's 7-5 this year.
I mean, they're great. They're rocketing up the rankings. MACtion exists for Tuesday and Wednesday night football, and that's where it should be always. They shouldn't even do that later in the season. They should just start out opening week Tuesday night. Just have that be your spot and just relish in it. And they have, for the most part, and ESPN pays them a little more than their value is worth because they're willing to play Tuesday and Wednesday night.
So you don't think any of those teams will jump to the – I'm saying we'll jump to the different conferences.
Garbage. No, what team? What team out of –
Oh, no, I'm asking you.
I know, but now I'm asking – I'm gave you my opinion.
And by the way,
opinion.
You did forget about Ohio Bobcats.
Yeah, woo. It's
Bowling
it's,
Green.
They're a fucking joke.
There's a lot of Ohio teams.
There's a lot of fucking jokes in that conference.
Akron.
They are terrible.
Don't forget Akron.
Oh my God! Look at their out of conference records for the most part, unless they're playing like the Sisters of the Poor. It's you know it's
is Kent State in Ohio?
Yeah, Kent State is Indiana.
Is it?
Is it? Or
I don't know. I'm just looking
That's how bad they are. We don't even know.
I'm sorry.
State.
All of a sudden, you said there's only two teams in Ohio.
No,
I'm
that are relevant. That are relevant. Kent State is in Ohio. I'm saying
Miami of Ohio. Yeah, okay.
No, but they're irrelevant. They're irrelevant to college football. Cincinnati has a built-in advantage that they're in a fertile recruiting ground, and they only have one team that they compete with, but that team recruits nationally. So there's so many in-state kids. So if you're an in-state kid and you don't get offered by Ohio State, but you want to stay in Ohio, where are you going to want to go? Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
That they have that built-in advantage that no other mid-major team really possesses. Is that they play at the high end of the group of five mid-major, however you want to term it. They've been playing there. Now they're going to be in the Big 12, but I understand why Cincinnati's done so well, and it makes sense, it's translated, you know, past decade.
Yeah, and they've had a football team for a very long time too, and I think that what are they? The last two coaches have been Kelly, right? And then
they had Kelly and Fickle.
That's
well,
the
before
last two, right?
No, they had somebody in
Did
between.
Did they have someone before
yeah,
him?
Yeah, and I think he went on to
you
somewhere.
You know, Tuberville. At Tuberville.
Yeah.
Tommy Tuberville was there, and he kind of turned it around a little bit, and then he jumped ship for some reason. Well, but going back to Lincoln Riley, how long do you think it takes, and if he can?
Yeah, they actually went Brian Kelly, then had an interim, but then Butch Jones was there, and he underwhelmed. He did get Big East Coach of the Year in 2011. Then they had an interim. Then they had Tommy Tuberville, and he actually underwhelmed too.
Did he? I thought he had a couple good years.
He had 29-22 overall, 18-14 in conference. And then Luke Fickle came in, and they've been 35-13 under him, with the last two seasons being almost flawless.
Don't besmirch the great name of Butch Jones, though.
Butch.
He's at the great Arkansas State right now.
Yeah. 2-10 Arkansas State Red Wolves.
Listen, he's coming off of being an Alabama assistant, get a national championship ring. He can show that. But Lincoln Riley, how long do you think, and if he can, well, one, do you think he can turn around USC? And if he can, how long do you think that it takes?
I am fascinated by the Pac-12 as a football conference and how fucking awful they've been.
How they've let all their talent leave the state of California?
I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
I thought Chip Kelly was going to at least, you know, do a little bit better.
All of them. It's just been a revolving door of shit there. And Oregon somehow has maintained themselves as the cream of that crop.
But isn't Marco – they're talking about Marco leaving.
Well, going where?
Well, I mean, until Miami won a couple games. They were which I still believe that they should have hired Marco in Miami – before he
you
left
mean
FIU.
Mario,
whatever his name
Cristobal?
Is.
Cristobal?
Yeah. I call him Marco. Marco!
Polo.
Cristobal! Yeah, Mario, whatever. I think they should have hired him out of FIU. He had FIU, a shitty school, playing really well. He knew how to recruit Miami. He's a Miami guy. I think that Miami should have grabbed him, but he went up to Oregon. And they're talking about him leaving.
I mean, but to go where? That's the question. And why would you leave Oregon for Miami, even if you're a Florida guy? You've got you will dominate. You will continue to dominate that shit trash conference.
Why did Willie Tiger leave
for
Oregon?
For the foreseeable? Well, he left because Florida State was his dream job.
But, how do you know Mario's dream job?
Well, hopefully
he
looked at fucking Willie Taggart and he doesn't make the same stupid mistake. Stay where it's easy. Don't look for a challenge. Take the money. Sit up there in Oregon amongst the Redwoods and fucking cash those checks and beat those shit garbage teams that the rest of that conference throws out on the field every year. It's a trash conference. He plays in the trash division of the trash conference. I mean, just keep going out there and winning.
So you think him being about 11-2, 10-3 every year, Oregon won't really raise any red flags for him?
No, they'll be happy with that. I mean, it's their championship caliber went out the door with Chip Kelly, right? So when he left Oregon, so too did their being an elite, a frequently elite top five team. That those days are gone. Be happy being top 10. That's the best you can hope for at that school in that region with no real history of winning before Chip Kelly. So yeah, no, it's, you know, be happy with him.
Are you thinking Chip Kelly is going to do anything at UCLA, or you think Chip Kelly just has kind of lost his touch?
I think he lost his touch. I think going to the NFL and then coming back is a mistake, and coaches need to pick their fucking spot, which is, I'm kind of contradicting myself because I said Pete Carroll,
exactly.
But Pete Carroll, here's the difference. Pete Carroll had success in the NFL. Chip Kelly did not. And so I think when you go to the NFL and fail.
Yeah, but
let me finish a thought. Let me finish my thought.
Pete Carroll.
And then shut up. When you go to the NFL and fail and then come back to the college ranks, the players fucking know that. They're not stupid. They know it. They hear the negative recruiting. They hear, oh, you know, he wasn't good enough. He couldn't cut it in the NFL. What makes you think he's going to get you ready for the NFL? Look at the way his team's performed in the NFL. And so that's why the coaches that fail in the NFL and come back to college, for the most part, don't end up doing well. You have a couple of outliers, but for the most part, that holds true. And to Nick Saban's credit, he got the hell out before he failed in the NFL.
Yeah.
He left the job, which was smart, because if he had another two losing seasons in the NFL, he wouldn't have come back to college and done what he's done.
Iggy McGillicuddy, whoa, 500 bits. But Pete Carroll did not do really that well in the NFL ranks before he went to USC and then went back to the NFL. That's what I was trying to say. Pete Carroll at New England, actually the Jets, 6-10, then New England, 10-6, 9-7, 8-8, left and then went to USC.
Because he was smart. He never had an abysmal year. He was never terrible in the NFL.
Okay, I can
and
see
so
what you're
he
saying
saw
there.
Himself
yeah.
starting to slip, and what did he do?
He left
and saved his reputation. And that's the key. As a coach, your reputation, especially in college, means more than anything. And so when you get that tarnished with that loser brand, that failure brand, it's hard to shake, man. And Chip Kelly has that taint on him now. He has that failure brand from the NFL, his failed experience there, that he now has to overcome that in the college ranks. I don't know that he's good enough as just a pure head coach to do that without, you know, given that he's starting from a deficit.
Yeah, you know what? I actually forgot Chip Kelly coached at San Francisco and went 2-14.
Yeah.
I forgot that. See, I was thinking that Chip Kelly left the Eagles, and yeah, okay, 6-9, but the year before, 10-6.
Every single year he got worse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't, you know, he didn't get while the getting was good. He tried one more time,
yeah.
and that was the mistake. If he had left after that 9-9 season in season in Philly, he would have been okay.
You know what? You are true on that one. And Iggy McGillicuddy, whoa, 1,000 bits. You are true on that because I did not know that 2-14 because I'm like, oh, you know, Pete Carroll, he had 8-8, but if Chip Kelly, but yeah, I guess you could see as a kid, and he really didn't do much in the NFL, 10-6. It did not hurt Nick Saban. Yes, like you said, he got out when the going was good. I think a lot of NFL people hate Nick Saban for what he did to Miami, but how long do you think it will take Lincoln Riley to turn USC around? Like, I'm saying to at least...
Two seasons is all it takes. I mean, you've got so many advantages built in. If you're truly a good coach, if you're really a good coach, and he is...
He's a good coach.
You know, he did take over a great program, and he did enter a very cush, you know, position there at Oklahoma. But that's also part of good being a good coach, right? Is realizing where your opportunity lies and where you can succeed, knowing your limitations. So if he's a good coach, which I believe he is, then two seasons he should have USC winning their division, and he should have them in the top 10 within three.
Now, is he getting back to the Pete Carroll USC days? Celebrities on the sidelines, USC being that big school, or because LA has now two NFL teams, it's not that glamorous of a ticket anymore.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard. It's not the same ticket, right? Like the Lakers are back as a thing.
The Dodgers are there.
The Dodgers are big again. And so, yeah, when USC was the winning program in LA, that was a different story. But I don't think those days will come back. I think he could sniff it, but I don't think he'll get there.
Because it's pretty sad. Did you watch, I think it was a USC-UCLA game like a week ago, and how empty that stadium was?
Yeah.
And that used to just be, I mean, it's one of the biggest stadiums.
Yeah, the Rose Bowl now.
Yeah. And now it's just.
It's yeah, that was a few weeks ago, but
it's
well, no, start, it was last
like,
week.
Yeah,
wasn't
it was the start
it last
of,
week?
Yeah, it's the start of the like the, yeah. kind of the Thanksgiving hall. You know, yeah, it's yeah. that start that game that
yeah,
always
yeah.
starts. Yeah.
So yeah, no, yeah, it is sad, but I mean, he's taking over a 3-5 team that went 4-7 overall. It's I think he can have them winning the division in 2 years though, because it's not a stacked division.
Now,
it really isn't.
Obviously, since the last time we met, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but the Florida, the Gator hire. Now, I was a little disappointed. I think they should, and I know that he's lost the team. There's a lot of things that have come out now that with Dan Mullen just kind of being David E. 128, 1500 bits, more baby face. Woo. I think they should have given Dan Mullen another year. Do you think that it was a right fire at the time?
Given the talent that he had on the field and the performance that they put out and the critical juncture that Florida and Florida State find themselves in, I think it's the right time to pull the trigger and move on, because you have a chance to – they squandered a golden opportunity to bury Florida State within the state hierarchy, right?
Yeah.
And Miami. And instead, they've fallen back to the pack, and they've lost all momentum that they had prior to the Dan Mullen experience. And from that standpoint, I don't think you can afford to wait longer to see if he can turn things around. He had plenty of talent. He had all the advantages. And look, he was never, I mean... At Mississippi State, he wasn't setting the world on fire.
No,
he had
but
one
it was
good, one
10-year
win. Look, you can win at those schools. You can go. You can have 10 win years at those schools. But what did Ole Miss do this year? You know, you can do that. He wasn't. It was a questionable hire to begin with. But you look at a coach like him. He went from 10-3 to 11-2. Good. Down to 8-4. Down to 5-6. You can't have that. At a major program, you can't have that losing trajectory. You have to cut that off. Now, I will say this. I think Florida State pulled the plug on Willie Taggart too soon. I'm not saying he would have been their savior, but I don't think he had enough time. In Dan Mullen's case, season 4 and you're regressing, you got to go.
Actually,
so it's not too much time. In fact, if anything, he was helped out by their Paper Tiger first place division win last year.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Where they went 8-3 in conference, and you know, that I think bought him some extra time.
Actually, if you kind of look at it, besides Florida, they're 10-3. He took over a pretty good team. At Mississippi State, he reached that 9-4, then regressed 7-6, 8-5, 7-6, 10-3.
I mean, he
9-4, 6-7, 8-4. So he kept regressing.
Yeah, he has not shown himself to be a coach that makes the team better in the long run, and that's the red flag for me. Is I'm okay giving coaches time. I think Jeff Scott needs time at USF. Yeah. I'm okay giving coaches time, especially at lesser programs. I think stability at a school like USF is more important than at a school like Florida, because Florida is a brand. It's an institution. The head coach means less than at a lesser school. And so you have certain jobs where the head coach is less than the program, right? Is his stature isn't as big as the program itself. Notre Dame's a job like that. Whoever they hire, as long as he can coach well, you know, they don't have to give him more than two seasons, right? So
if he comes out and shits the bed the next two seasons, he's done.
Yeah,
he's out.
Yeah, exactly.
Where like a USF or one of those, they can let's get his guys in there.
Yeah, you got to give them time to build a program. And these other spots, the program's built, the culture is there. Now you can tweak the culture a little bit, but the fans and the administration and the history define the culture. And you look at a school like Michigan, you know, they were I applaud them for being so patient with Harbaugh.
I was just about to say the same exact thing, because they were so just, all right, 4 years, you don't have it done, 5 years, you're done. Harbaugh, I'm like, listen, and I'm not saying he's, you know, the greatest coach, but you got to give a little bit of time.
Well, he got more than I ever thought he was going to get there. And kudos to them. They waited, and maybe it'll pay off for them. Maybe they'll get to lose to Georgia. Who knows?
So you think Georgia's just
what have you seen from college football this year that would make you think that there is any team capable of keeping it within two scores of Georgia?
Well, do you think that Georgia has probably the best defense
ever?
Because I'm looking right now, and their overall points
ridiculous against
is 83.
It's insane what they have done this season. Now, granted, I will say this. They haven't really beaten anybody. That's the one thing going against Georgia, is they had a Charmin soft of a schedule as you can have in the SEC. And so the only question mark around Georgia is when they play a team that has a legit defense, will they be able to shut them down? But I mean, look at a team like Arkansas, 37-0. Auburn, 34-10.
Yeah.
UK, 30-13. I mean, nobody has kept it within, other than Clemson in week one. And again,
week one.
And Clemson turned it around, 9-3, you know, not terrible. But other than Clemson, nobody's kept it within what, 17 points of them? That's insane.
But doesn't that just show, because we were talking about, hey, you know, every college team's going to kind of have a letdown. Not a let, you know, like where they lose.
They might have their
close.
first week was their
that's
letdown.
It. Because after that, they roll through every fucking, like, I mean, they could have a letdown against, you know, they could have, you know, kind of a closer game. I mean, people were saying the Tennessee speed's going to come out.
Here's the thing. They couldn't have played a softer SEC schedule, though. You could not have handpicked an easier SEC schedule than they played.
Yeah, but then you can look at the also is that they played at Auburn, and Auburn just
Auburn always gets up for the Iron Bowl. They were an underachieving team. Auburn was as good as their record suggests, which is not very good.
Yeah, but 34-10 at Auburn. I understand what you're saying, but if the number one team's coming in, and then if you look at Arkansas, and I understand Arkansas has come back a little bit, 37-0. I mean,
that's amazing. That's amazing. And yeah, Arkansas did kind of come back down to earth, and that was probably the start of it because that's a very humbling score.
Yeah.
when you
and their get, number, I think, 8 at that point.
And well, yeah, they were 4-0, and they had beaten Texas and Texas A&M. So they were coming off those seemingly good wins, which both of those wins seemingly are not that great.
Well, Texas A&M kind of bounced back with the win against Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, that's about it. And then the Georgia set off a 3-game losing streak for Arkansas. But then you have that 52-51 Ole Miss game, which was just crazy.
Yeah.
One of the best games of all times. But you look at who Georgia's played, and it's been a soft schedule, but they've dominated. And that's the thing is, yeah, it's been a soft schedule, but they've dominated everybody they played.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And you talk about Ole Miss. What do you think of Lane Kiffin? I don't think I've ever asked you about him.
I don't like him.
But you think he's a good coach?
He's a good coach. He's a good coach. He's not a great coach. He's a good coach. But, I mean, he's got him at 10-2.
Because everyone keeps always talking about how Lane Kiffin is just this, like, offensive almost genius. Now.
Yeah, well, his offensive genius only put up 21 on Bama.
Remember, he said grab the popcorn.
Yep, grab that popcorn. He choked on it. His offensive genius only put up 20 on Auburn.
Mm.
His offensive genius, 27 on Liberty.
Yeah, that Liberty game was pretty disappointing.
You know, he's a good coach, and he found himself in a good situation because, again, he got LSU being down this year and Texas A&M being mediocre. Really, the entire SEC kind of
crapped the bed.
You know, you didn't have Georgia. Those normal 3 or 4 teams that are just dominant. You had a bunch of just average teams in the SEC. The SEC East was just pathetically weak.
You think that he learned from his past? You think he's going to kind of sit at Ole Miss for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Or you think he's going to jump at the next big hire if they give him enough money?
I mean, I think he'd be smart to jump only because you're in with Bama and soon to be Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You're going to have a tough row, and I don't know that his stock will be higher. Like he's a possible hire for Notre Dame. I don't know his attitude would fit with the culture there.
I don't think it would go good there.
But he has simmered down a lot.
Yeah, but you think he get the because everyone said that the Notre Dame boosters is kind of what the Kelly he didn't get along with them.
I mean, he got along with them long enough.
Yeah, but I guess they were unhappy.
What, 12 years?
But I guess they want their dick sucked, and, you know, Kelly wasn't giving it to him. And I don't think Lane Kiffin's going to give it to him.
Kelly would still be there if he still wanted to be there, period. Kelly didn't get fired from Notre Dame. Notre Dame wasn't parting ways with Kelly.
No.
So the boosters had absolutely fucking nothing to do with him leaving. From the perspective of maybe he doesn't want to deal with them personally, but not the boosters forced him out. He made that move on his own, and it's a smart move.
Yeah, 10-year, $95 million.
I mean, not just the money, but going and now, because what's the one thing he doesn't have?
A conference.
A national championship.
Oh, that too, yeah.
And he's not going to win one at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's not winning a national title in our lifetime, unless they join a conference.
So even they go under, well, they'll make the, I mean, yeah.
Here's the problem, is they keep playing, yeah, they'll make the playoffs, but they're not battle-tested enough anymore with the problem they have is all these traditional games. Right,
yeah.
You're going to keep playing
Army,
Stanford,
Navy.
And you're going to keep playing Army, and you're going to keep playing Navy, and you're going to keep playing USC when they're down. You're not going to be battle tested and ready for the playoffs when you do get there.
Yeah,
and the kids don't want to. You know, it's not a big draw to play against Stanford anymore. USC's lost their shine. They need to change their philosophy. In my opinion, they either need to join a conference or they need to start scheduling differently.
I think it helped his recruiting. When they had to join the ACC because of because of COVID.
We're getting fucked by Twitch tonight, by the way.
I know that. I've tried not to say anything.
No, I mean, I'm not that the service is bad. We're just, it's hurting us in terms of our connectivity and our viewership.
No, I know. Everyone keeps saying it's skipping and chopping and blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's nothing I can really do about it right now.
I mean, we can end the show if it continues, because I'd rather not just sit here and waste my time. Is there a way?
Well, I mean,
is this
I'm recording it. I'm recording it on the other for the podcast.
Okay, well, that's good then. It's not a total waste.
Yeah,
I'll sit here until the allotted time is up then.
Oh, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
You for your time, sir.
Well, my time is valuable,
I
man.
Know
You're
it
a
is.
Dad. You know what it's like.
Listen, I totally get it, and I love coming on Twitch. You love coming on Twitch and seeing the numbers and getting the people with the chat, because chat freezes, live feeds. Freeze, but yeah, I mean, we're on BAR right now. I am recording it, and one reason I wanted to do it on Wednesday now is because I wanted to be relevant for the weekend games in the NFL, which we could switch over to the NFL.
Well, how are we not relevant on Thursday? Well, you mean the podcast?
Yeah,
well,
because
the
then by the, probably the podcast is up, it's going to be at least then for the weekend, but at least, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know
what
I'm saying?
Gives us time to get the podcast. Gotcha. I was going to say, how is our show not relevant on
No,
Thursdays?
No, I meant just for the podcast.
All right, let's switch gears.
Yeah,
then.
I was
going to
go to the
college talk. Real
yeah.
quick, who's going to win the national football championship in college?
Who's going to win? Georgia.
Right, by a landslide,
yeah.
right? Yeah, by a country mile. In fact, I'm going to make a pretty bold statement here.
All right.
Cincinnati would give them the best game out of any team in the top
kind
six.
Kind of like they did last year?
Absolutely. They have the reason being is Cincinnati's defense is good enough to at least give their offense a chance to keep it close. You know, they Cincinnati probably still loses 24-3 to Georgia, maybe 24-10, but at least they give them a chance to keep it close.
What's your prediction on that? Just I know we're going to do it, but I just want to get it. You just said you know, Cincinnati. Let's say what would you think Georgia scores against Cincinnati?
I just said 24-10.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
24-10.
24-10. You think?
Are your headphones cutting out too, there, buddy?
Yeah, everything's cutting out. No, I'm sorry. I got the text saying that
you're trying to multitask and you're not. I'm no good at that.
Well, yeah, my feed was cutting. I lost my paper. I was writing it down.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
So let's go to the NFL. I mean, the NFL. Who can't love the NFL? Buccaneers looking good.
Yeah. They got that dreaded double-digit point spread against Atlanta.
I think Atlanta's going to cover that. I think Atlanta's going to cover. We're talking about betting right now. I think Atlanta covers.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I'll tell you this
right now. AB's back, and they don't cover. The difference between the Bucs winning a Super Bowl this year and not is if Antonio Brown is on the field. And the Bucs have shown it. If AB and Gronk are in the lineup, the Bucs offense is unstoppable. Period. End of story. So if AB can come back, and that's why they're not rushing him back. They know this. They've looked at the analytics. They've looked at the way the difference between the Buccaneers as a team and as offense when AB's on the field versus when he's not. And he is the linchpin. There's a reason Tom Brady pushed so hard for him to get for the Bucs to sign him, because he knows he is the difference maker.
Oh, he's a game changer. I was talking about it last Sunday to Ashley. I said, AB's a big difference maker. Instead of Scotty Miller, you got AB. AB obviously is a way better wide receiver than
Scotty
Miller.
He's a number one playing as a number
three. In a slot.
It's insane.
Against a linebacker.
It's insane.
Go over the middle.
It's not stoppable. It's not fair. So if they can get Gronk, if I'm the Bucs and I have AB against Atlanta, I'm resting Gronk. I'm giving him an off week. Don't need him. Don't want to get him hurt. Let him get back to 100%. Because if you have a 100% Gronk, or he's never going to be 100%.
No, he's never.
An 85% Gronk and 100% AB going into the playoffs, I think it's more important to have those two as healthy as possible than it is to have home field. That's how important those guys are to the offense and to making things go. Because Gronk gives Brady a level of confidence and that he doesn't have with any other player on that team, and comfortability. And then AB gives him a level of mismatch and speed and game-breaking speed. What we've seen this year is that Godwin is a solid possession receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Evans is unreliable and can disappear at times. You can shut him down with your number one corner. And
I think he disappears 100% without AB.
Well, that's because you have to have safety help with AB.
Yep.
And when you double team or you put your shutdown corner on Mike Evans, you can stop him. And the injuries. He's taken a lot of hits. Jameis used to throw him a lot of passes that just laid him the fuck out. And so he's been concussed multiple times. He's had a lot of nagging injuries. And I think we're starting to see the wear on him. And I could see him falling off like Julio Jones did. It's unfortunate, but I think we're starting to see it with Evans. I think the indicators are there that he's going to start to digress statistically.
How many more years do you think? How many more years do you think he got?
Evans?
Yeah.
I think he has two more years of being a good wide receiver.
And then do you think he kind of just slips into the almost like, I can't say Odell Beckham because you hate Odell Beckham.
Well, he's fucking awful. I mean, he's a terrible locker room guy. He's not a good wide receiver. He had three good seasons in his career and that's it. He's fucking over. He's over. And he's shown that in L.A. He's fucking over. Overrated. Thank you for proving my point. Hey, Odell, it's not the quarterbacks, buddy. It's you. You're not very fucking good.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's been shown now. You can't thrive in LA's offense. Get the fuck out of here. They've been worse since he's gotten there.
Oh, no, 100%.
So Robert Woods is by far and away a better receiver than Odell Beckham Jr. Period.
Well, I just saw. I guess they're going to keep him sidelined, AB, for another 2 weeks.
They can keep him sidelined the rest of the season. They'd be better off. They should have kept him sidelined permanently. The guy doesn't need to be in the league on a team. He's not on a team that's competitive and wants to compete. He's toxic.
I said AB. Sorry, AB.
Oh, AB. I thought we were still talking about ODB.
I just saw a thing came up, said source, said that Antonio Brown is...
Two more weeks.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's probably... that's probably the right call. I hope it's not something more serious. It says it's his heel.
I mean, I think, like you said, they're probably just kind of
If you don't need him, you don't need him. But you do need him in the playoffs. So getting him healthy is essential.
So
but,
if they lose to the Falcons, which would be a real shit show.
It's not going to happen.
But you know what I mean. Like Atlanta, it's in Atlanta. Sometimes the Bucks.
Yeah,
I get
that typically, but Atlanta has no wide receiver. All you have to do is double team Kyle Pitts and it's over. They have no weapons. Let Cordarrelle Patterson get his, you know, 80 yards or whatever receiving and run, you know, another 20, 50 yards, whatever, rushing. They have no weapons. Russell Gage can't do shit, and you couldn't even name another wide receiver on Atlanta.
No.
Nobody could. Even Atlanta Falcon fans don't know who their fucking wide receivers are right now, outside of Gage. And so they're terrible. There's no reason for the Bucs to lose to them. The secondary is coming back. They're getting it together. You know, they got to get back into the groove a little bit, but they will. The defense, the Bucs defense, you will see over the next few weeks. Granted, the competition is dropping, but it will improve consistently every single week, and they will be ratcheted up and ready for the playoffs. And Odell Beckham Jr., back to him being complete fucking garbage.
Yeah, I'm thinking the Bucs didn't try to go after him or anything like that.
The Packers obviously wanted to pay him what he was actually worth, which is pretty much nothing. 50% on his targets. I mean, it's just...
It's bad.
Yeah, he's not that good. I did have the touchdown, but he's just not that good.
I'm kind of reviewing the different games here. There's really not that many good games going on in Week 13.
Chargers-Cincinnati is an interesting matchup.
I love the Cincinnati. I love Cincinnati. Joe Burrow's, I think, has turned the corner.
Baltimore-Pittsburgh is always great. It's always within a score, man.
You still think, man, Pittsburgh has looked bad.
Pittsburgh against Baltimore will play a good game. In fact, I'm taking Pittsburgh in that game.
So you think Cincinnati just has Pittsburgh's number?
Yeah. Yeah. And Pittsburgh, you know, they're not good, but Baltimore's their rivals in that division, period. And that's the game they get up for. Rivalry games are always, you know, different than a normal game. And so the results are not always as expected.
Chicago, on the other hand, and I mean, Chicago's kind of a shit show right now. I think they fired the head coach. Do you keep Fields going? Do you, like, what do you think of
Fields?
What's
the point? Why did you draft him anyways? If you were just going to sign Russell Wilson this offseason anyways.
You think that's where Russell Wilson's going to go?
I mean, I don't know where anybody – I'm not clairvoyant, but I think he wants a city like Chicago.
Not New Orleans? I mean, come on. You go down with Sean Payton?
Maybe. Maybe New Orleans. You know, the issue for them, have they freed up the cap space? I know they were in cap hell. You know, they don't have a true number one quarterback, but how long did they sign Jameis for? Just one season?
One season, yeah.
Okay, well, then they're okay with that, but they have too much tied up in Taysom. I know that.
I thought they just reworked his deal, too.
They were giving him like $10 million a year, weren't they?
Yeah, but I think they reworked it again where, like, I think it was like a week ago. But maybe they're setting themselves up for it.
You know, maybe Taysom will show. He's got his chance now. He's got 4 weeks to show, 5 weeks to show that he belongs in the NFL here.
Now, do you think, so is Russell Wilson, you think he's definitely out of Seattle?
Oh, 100%.
Especially after the way the season's going?
Yeah. Yeah, he wanted out this season. He was stuck. But isn't he a free agent?
I don't know if he's a free agent or not. No, I think he.
Is he under contract?
I think he's under contract till next season. Mm. I think that someone had to trade for him. But I mean, then you got also Deshaun Watson, still, which that whole thing just disappeared.
Well, it's not working itself out. That's the problem. Is they were all expecting it to be worked out. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
Wilson's under contract for 22 and 23. So. He's got not until 2024. Somebody will trade for him, though. I think Seattle's got to rebuild. The problem for Seattle is you don't want to rebuild because you do have a prime wideout in Metcalf and a good backup to him in Lockett.
Yeah, you don't have a bad team.
You still need a run. I mean, what this really has shown me is how much Carson drove this team. He's more important to the success of that team than Russell Wilson.
Well, actually, speaking of that, and it just popped in my head.
And his career is going to be over, by the way. He's not coming back.
No.
And if he does, he's going to be a shell of himself. So they need a running back, and they need a quarterback. Running back's easy to fill. Quarterback's going to be tough for them. Unless, you know, Rodgers. But Rodgers doesn't want to go to Seattle, I don't think.
I don't know. Everyone keeps saying Rodgers to, like, Pittsburgh.
I don't think he wants to go to that city either.
Where do you think he'd want to go? I mean, you're kind of looking at the different...
Yeah, I'm trying to think of where they would actually need a quarterback. New Orleans?
Well, yeah. I mean, if they don't get Russell Wilson, that means maybe Russell Wilson goes to the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins really want... But then you also got Carolina. Carolina has to get a quarterback.
Yeah, and Cam showed that he ain't it.
No. Two-game losing streak right now.
Well, and getting benched, I mean.
And Darnold's not the guy either, I don't think.
No, Darnold's hurt, but yeah.
But I'm saying long run.
He ain't the guy.
I
will eat crow on that. I thought he had a chance to be better than he was in the first couple games. But again, without McCaffrey, nobody's going to do well on that team. That team was built around a running back who is Charmin Soft, and it was never going to work.
That's right. You should have kept Teddy Bridgewater.
It wouldn't have mattered. Bridgewater would have been sucking. No, the team, they've got one wide receiver. I guess Robbie Anderson's okay, but.
No one throws to Robbie Anderson anymore. At least Cam Newton started throwing to Robbie Anderson. Darnold thought he had to play.
Sounds like somebody has Robbie Anderson on his fantasy
team.
Sure do.
I had him last year, and he was a fucking superstar. And now, and guess what? When Cam Newton came back, Robbie Anderson all of a sudden became open again.
Tell me you have Robbie Anderson on your fantasy team.
I got him
team
on every
without,
single
without
fantasy.
Without telling me you have him on your fantasy
and I pick
team.
Him every, I was picking him every week in FanDuel and DraftKings.
Yeah. Well,
all right?
Your bad choices aren't their problem. Well, the game of the week is, what did I say 3 weeks ago? What did I say 3 weeks ago that you disagreed with me on?
I disagree with you on a lot
I know.
Of things. With the Vegas.
That New England was going to win the AFC East.
Okay, yes, I did disagree.
And what the fuck, man?
I
told you, they figured it out. The formula is there. Belichick is a fucking wizard. And he has his defense back playing New England Patriot defense, man. If you have a fantasy team, the Patriots defense is somehow available still. Pick them up. I got them 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and I'm very happy with the returns.
And Mac Jones, he's looking like a...
Well, this is the thing. Belichick is so good at recognizing a player's limitations and game planning for within that. And he does that better than anybody else in football. And he has got that team dialed in. I think they're going to beat Buffalo in Buffalo on Monday Night Football and get a stranglehold on that division.
So you think Buffalo, you think they make the playoffs, right?
Well, with the seven teams this year, right?
Yeah,
it's fucking bullshit, man. The Bears are still in contention. Do you want to see the Bears play football in January? Fucking Eagles are still in contention. Are you kidding me?
Well, I'm just looking at the AFC because if you look at it, you got the Patriots, Bills 7-4, the Ravens, Bengals, Browns, they're all so close. Obviously, the Steelers 5-5. The North is they're all tight right there.
The AFC is a good even conference. The NFC is very top heavy. I would take the top five in the NFC over the top five in the AFC any day of the week. The problem is after that, there's a huge drop-off between the two conferences. The bottom of the NFC is really bad. Like, the only reason they have wins is because they have to play each other.
Well, and then you got the NFC.
Except Detroit. They don't win against anyone.
Well, they just get a tie. I mean,
it's so fucking Detroit. They couldn't even win. They couldn't break their losing streak with a win. They broke it with a tie.
I mean, they're so close, though, on so many games. You just start feeling bad for them now.
It's really funny to me at this point.
Yeah, do you want them to go 0-16 with a 1?
0-16-1?
Yeah.
Well, they haven't won a game in over a year now.
I know.
It's
really sad.
Or no, right at a year. I think they won the last one last year, the week after Thanksgiving. I thought that the Thanksgiving game was going to be their best chance at a win.
So did I.
And didn't pan out for them. Almost.
Are you surprised by the NFC West?
The only thing I'm surprised by is that Arizona was able to separate themselves from the pack. I thought they were going to be the bottom of the conference, and Seattle obviously choking. San Francisco's getting healthier. They're getting right, and they're starting to play a little better. So I think that the Niners will make the playoffs. But I still think three of the four teams will make it. We thought at one point that all four might have a chance.
Yeah.
And but for injuries, maybe the Seahawks are there. You know, you can't lose your quarterback and your running back and win in this league. Nobody can. And so, the really the only two surprises to me are that Arizona has been the best team there, and that Seattle fell off so badly.
Who do you think comes out of the NFC? Like, not the NFC West. Who do you think a surprise is that is going to make the playoffs, but then maybe go one or two games in? Is there, you think there's any NFL teams that can do it?
Or
do you think it's just going to be all the favorites?
No, the difference between the top five in the NFC and the rest of the teams is pretty stark. I will say this. I'm not completely sold on the Cowboys and the Rams at this point, but the Rams will figure it out. They're going to get right. There's even talks that Cam Akers might be able to make it back this season, which is crazy to
me.
Really? Given the injury that he suffered.
Yeah,
but
no kidding.
I've heard that maybe for the playoffs, which would be nuts. Henderson's done well there, though. I think my biggest problem with the Rams is that they underutilized Darrell Henderson. He has been great for them. He has been consistent. Mm-hmm. He doesn't fumble. He catches the ball out of the backfield. They would be a better team. They wouldn't be 7-4 if they used him more. And obviously, I have him on my fantasy teams, and so I feel that way. But I think it's legitimate. I mean, they're on a three. They haven't won since they got Odell Beckham, by the way. You know that,
and
right?
Since they signed him,
because he sat out the first week, right? Since they signed Odell Beckham Jr., they are 0-3. And he is a fucking cancer. And he was holding back Cleveland. He is just an awful, awful, awful player, awful locker room guy. He's the worst. He makes your team worse. I don't know why he's still – I don't know why there was even a market for him when they cut him in Cleveland.
I mean, L.A. likes to make a splash. And isn't that when Woods went down? Wasn't it Woods?
Yeah, they got desperate. Yeah. They got desperate. Here's the thing. Use the players that you have better. Use Van Jefferson better. Use Darrell Henderson better. Use Sony Michel better.
But I think the Rams also were looking at what the Bucs were doing, and I think they go, well, we're in L.A., we have a new stadium, we have to almost look like the Bucs.
Yeah, that's a mistake. You can't do what the Bucs are doing because the Bucs have the greatest quarterback of all time, and they have three legitimate number one wide receivers, and they have three legitimate number one tight ends. Let's not even talk about that. I mean, you look at
the depth. I'm surprised they haven't traded any of them.
They have two legitimate running backs that could be starters, and a third down catching back who does nothing in this offense because Lenny Fournette is doing so well.
Are you surprised they didn't trade any of the tight ends or haven't?
I am not, because of the concern of the health of O.J. Howard coming back off of injury and the concern of Gronk making it through a full season. You didn't want to leave yourself with Howard as your only tight end if Gronk were to go down. So I think it was absolutely the right call holding on to all three and making it work.
You think Kittle stays healthy? Obviously, I think you said the 49ers make it. What quarterback do they stay with?
Garoppolo. You think Trey Young doesn't give them a chance to win in the playoffs. But the fuck out of here.
I know, but you think...
Jimmy Jam does.
You think Jimmy's out after the season? You think they try to trade him?
I don't. I think they'll evaluate where Lance is at this point in his career.
Where do you think he is after year one?
Right where I figured he would be, coming from fucking North Dakota and trying to go straight into the NFL.
Did he only play one game? He only played one game last year, right?
I don't remember what it was. Yeah.
Like
three games, I think, or four, maybe.
Yeah, like he just played a couple BS games because they canceled the whole season.
Yeah. No, it's... Look, I was baffled by this quarterback class. I was never sold on Zach Wilson. I will say I was wrong on Mac Jones, maybe. It looks like he landed into the right spot, though. I don't think Mac Jones would have been successful with any other coach in the NFL.
I don't think I think he would have been like an A.J. McCarron.
Like every other Alabama quarterback.
Yep, they all get into the other
McElroy,
ones.
McElroy, all of them.
Look good in the preseason.
Yeah.
And
but
shit the bed.
He landed into the perfect position with New England. In fact, I think I maybe even said that I liked him there, because I think I predicted New England to make the playoffs in our first show, and you told me I was crazy.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I think you were saying more of
the defense.
The defense
was
going
to step up.
Well, but the
defense is driving this.
And you said the defense would drive it, and Mac Jones would just kind of take care of the ball through the Bill Belichick offense.
Which is pretty much what's happening. I mean, I think we made a lot of predictions, so I was wrong on some stuff, but I think I was right more than I was wrong. But that is one that I absolutely fucking nailed.
I mean, I don't think you saw how the Raiders were going to take a complete dog shit.
Well, how was I supposed to know that their head coach was going to be caught in a sex text scandal, and that their star wide receiver was going to murder a lady and her dog?
And then their quarterback. Don't forget their quarterback. Their cornerback, didn't he punch out a valet guy?
Yeah, that happened too. So
he was a first round
if you
pick.
Told me all their first round picks were going to get arrested and their head coach was going to get caught in a scandal, I wouldn't have been as high on Vegas. But in my defense, they were 6-2 at one point?
Yes, they were.
Yeah. So I was right until I wasn't.
You want to keep it that logic, perfectly fine.
So look, Mac Jones, 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I mean, he hasn't gone out there and dominated as a quarterback. He's played better as of late. If you look at his game log, but New England is doing exactly what I expected New England to do, which is to figure out a way to win with mediocre players, which is what Bill Belichick always does. And have you been watching Man in the Arena?
No, I have not, but I heard it's really good.
It's a great watch. They're not boring at all. They're informative. And the thing I like about it the most is you get a view inside of a Belichick team and the makeup of it and what they were looking for. Episode 3 is called The Edge. And obviously there's no real spoilers because everybody knows how these seasons play out.
Yeah.
But they talk in there about how the guys in that locker room kept challenging each other to be the first one in, to be the last one out, to be the most committed. And that mindset that Belichick looks for players, he looks for team guys. He doesn't look for talent. He looks for team first. And so to him, it's not about getting the most talented guys out there. It's never been that. It's always been about guys that are going to fit his team, that are going to fit the philosophy, that are going to fit the culture. And I just knew that he still had that there. He's not a bad coach. He's a good coach. He's a great coach. He's a legendary coach. And he has found the formula to win with less, which is exceptional to do in the NFL. Like, with the Bucs are winning with more right now, right? They have they're winning with more, which is the easiest way to do it.
I think they could still. Well, I mean, maybe because Tom Brady's a little older that he needs a little. But I think, 10 years ago, Tom Brady's here. I think Tom Brady's winning with less here, too.
He was definitely good enough to win with less. But he was what I'm realizing is that he's also a product of that Belichick system, right? Mm-hmm. So he learned from the guys around him. He learned from the Lawyer Malloys. And from the Willie McGinnis and the Teddy Bruschis, and they helped mold him to be a tougher individual and more committed player than he would have been if he wasn't in that system. Again, a quarterback that if he had gone anywhere else in the NFL would have never amounted to anything.
Exactly.
And Mac Jones could be Tom Brady part two. Not that he's ever going to be that great, but what I'm saying is a quarterback who ends up being potentially a championship caliber quarterback who may not have been anywhere else.
Before we make our picks and get out of this shit show, who do you think wins the NFC East?
NFC East? The Cowboys. Up until last week, I thought there was a chance that the Eagles might sneak in.
Washington football team's getting hot.
Fuck that shit, man. There's no way. There's just no way. They're not consistent enough. I know they're getting hot. They've won three in a row. They beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
But look who they beat. They beat the Bucks, who that was just inexcusable. The start and the finish was terrible. The Bucks lost that game more than Washington won it. Then they beat the Panthers.
And then
last second, and then the Seahawks. And look how they're winning against those teams. Barely winning. I think they come back. I think they will lose at the Raiders this week. And I think they will lose versus the Cowboys, and then their season's over. So at that point, it's done. So they have no margin for error going home here because Dallas still gets to play the other shit teams in that division. I mean, they have the Saints this week, then they have Washington, then they have the Giants, and they have Washington, then they have the Cardinals. That's a tough one. And then they get the Eagles again. I guess they don't have those two games against Washington will decide that division. Washington has to win them both.
Yeah. I think it's so close, though.
I mean, they're back in it. I didn't even realize they had snuck up to 5-6. Exactly. Quite honestly.
Yeah. I mean, when you're going 2-6,
I stopped paying attention to them at that point. I didn't realize they don't even need
Fitzmagic.
No, they have Heineke, who's apparently the answer there. I don't know why they didn't go after what he showed against the Bucks in the playoffs last year. I don't know how he wasn't their starter this year.
Oh yeah. I mean, I could see them maybe getting Fitzmagic for just like a backup, but then when they announce him as a starter,
yeah, no, that was a mistake. That was a mistake, and I think they're realizing it now. Who knows where their season could have been? They have a legitimate. What's amazing is they get it done with defense and Moxie. But, they've got a decent running back group, and then they've got McLaurin. And then they don't have anything else. I mean, they have nothing else on offense.
No.
Nothing. So the fact that they're able to find ways to win games are pretty amazing.
You know, one fact real quick here that I think is kind of a big thing for New England is they're 5-0 away. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
they haven't lost on the road. I mean, you win. I mean, you have a winning record on the road. You definitely are going to make the playoffs.
You go 5-0 on the road, you're going to win your division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 5-0 right now, 6-1 in their conference.
Yeah, that's exceptional, man. They are a legit team. They almost beat the Bucs. And now this is a tough game for Brady. It's I don't put too much stock into that final score result. But look, man, their defense is dialed in. What do they have? The number one defense in football, right?
Yep. Yeah, they do.
Number one defense in football. Scoring defense is all that matters. The rest of it's
exactly.
bullshit.
Well, it's kind of weird. Number two is the
Buffalo.
Broncos. Is it Buffalo?
Yeah, it's Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, Buffalo.
But Buffalo's played one fewer games than them. Then you've got
Denver. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is that's what we expected with Denver, right? Mm-hmm. Teddy Bridgewater is a game manager for them, and he managed to blow the game for them last week. So that's good.
Okay.
No, they won last week. I meant against the Eagles.
Yeah.
But they won, and he had, 120 yards passing?
Yeah. Listen, he's a game manager. And that's what you expect, like we talked about. That's what you expect with him.
No, that's what he is. And I said that, though. He's not a guy that you're going to win a championship
but
with.
Carolina has a good defense, and obviously, I'm talking about when they were with the Panthers. So, and then you had McCaffrey if you had him, and that's the quarterback that you want.
Well, if you had Bridgewater without McCaffrey, you would have a team not winning games.
And that's pretty much what happened last year with Carolina.
And that's what's happening this year with Carolina, and that's what will happen every year with Carolina until they move on from Christian McCaffrey and start building a real team and not relying on one guy who's an exceptional playmaker to do everything for them. Those guys don't last in the NFL. Kamara's starting to get dinged up. You know, those all-purpose backs that play, you know, 85% of the snaps, they don't last in this league, man. They're like Glade plugins. The smell starts to wear off after a while. And McCaffrey's done. I'm going to say it right now. He's done, too. Done. He's not coming back and being the same guy he ever was.
Well, let's wrap up the show. Let's make our picks, and let's keep them so we can do it for next week when we come back.
All right, here we go.
Dallas at New Orleans.
Dallas.
5.5. Dallas, I got Dallas. Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
Bucks.
Tampa Bay. Arizona at Chicago.
Kyler Murray, how's he doing? Chicago's defense is getting better.
I know. Like, it's getting some pressure.
Getting better, but I'm going to say Zona finds a way, although I don't want them to. I want Chicago to win this game.
I'm taking Chicago. Chargers at Cincinnati.
Natty.
Natty all day. Joe Burrow's my man. Minnesota, Detroit?
Minnesota.
Poor Detroit. I'm taking Detroit.
Okay.
They get their first win at home.
Okay.
Indianapolis at Houston. Houston's playing a little bit better, too.
They are playing better, and this is a divisional game. You know, these are the ones where this time of year they win. I mean, Indy has to win. They need it, and they're coming off the heartbreaker against the Bucks. I'm going to pick up an upset and gotta go with Houston.
I'm going Indianapolis. Giants at Miami.
Another interesting game. Miami's been playing over their heads lately.
And Giants have been just...
have been terrible, but I think Saquon might finally starting to become back to healthy. He's a difference maker there. If Sterling Shepard can get back on the field, that's a difference maker for the Giants. I wish I knew. See, this is why it's better to do the show on Thursday, because we have a clearer picture of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'll take the Giants. Miami's win streak comes to an end.
I got Miami, Tua's staying on fire. In Galaxy, the tight end, whatever his name is. Miami wins. Philly at New York Jets. Oh. Jets. Joe Flacco.
Yeah, Philly's been letting me down.
I feel like they play down their opponents.
Hurts is hurt. How hurt is he? We don't know because it's Wednesday and this show should be done on Thursday. These picks should be done later in the week. I'm going to go with another upset here. I'm going to go with the
Jets. Jets?
Yeah.
I'm going Philly then.
Hurts says he's ready to go.
Yeah.
If Hurts is playing hurt, then I like the Jets.
Joe Flacco going to go back to his Ravens days?
He just needs to play good enough, right?
Yeah, I guess.
The backs there, they've got a bevy of backs that are ready to contribute without Michael Carter.
Yeah, Ty Johnson, I think his name
is. Well, they've got three guys that they'll lean on, so they don't need any one guy to do anything too much.
Urban Meyer led Jacksonville.
Rams. Let's just move on.
I know you love Urban Meyer. Washington, Vegas.
Vegas.
Washington. San Francisco, Seattle.
San Fran.
Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Baltimore. Denver, Kansas City.
Kansas City. They're going to get it. They're finally going to put it together this week. Finally. I said that last week after they did that the week before, but this time I mean it.
Kansas City, and this Monday night game is going to be good. Monday night.
New England.
New England, Buffalo. You got New England?
Absolutely.
I think Buffalo in Buffalo. Josh Allen turns it around.
That's cute. They can't run the ball effectively enough, although maybe Matt Breida is the answer, but I think New England shuts them down. I think they befuddle Josh Allen, and they win. I'm going to go 23-17.
23-17. Okay. All right. I think Buffalo wins. New England defense. Going to be cold up in Buffalo, I'm guessing, right? 17-14.
It's usually not warm this time of year.
Exactly. 17-14.
All right. Low-scoring game. I don't think there's any way Buffalo wins without scoring at least 20 points that game. I don't think there's any scenario where Buffalo wins without scoring at least 20.
Well, I guess we'll see next week.
We will. We won't remember anything that we said. Nobody saw it. Nobody watched it. But
we'll see. Of listeners. Phone lines are blown up.
Yeah, it was a good show, man. I'm glad we came and did it. And hopefully next week when we're on, Twitch will work better.
It may not even be a Twitch issue.
It may have been a us issue. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we'll figure it out. And, Brian, I appreciate it.
It's always fun, Lummy. Glad to be back. Sorry the last couple of weeks were crazy. I was traveling internationally. So
it's Thanksgiving.
You know how it is.
Oh, yeah, and you got to